Actually, I am going to try and stay brief. I think that the most important thing that a leader of an arts organisation should do is in the title of this conference. That consists of not just providing a vision and a drive and a dynamic and a purpose for an organisation. It means that that vision constantly stretches and pushes where you're going and where you've come from. It means that, picking on this word vision, that we don't simply articulate and ape today and yesterday's ideas and fashions, that we are looked to as leaders to begin to stretch our imaginations and our visions and to communicate those to other people as we imagine and create the visions for tomorrow. If you ask an audience, and indeed quite frankly artists, what they want to see in a theatre, they will by and large talk about that which already exists. And that, it seems to me, is a rather dull way of leading. In fact, you could argue it makes the leader redundant. The point about leadership is to actually begin to imagine what could be, where we might go. And then, of course, to enthuse and communicate with others so that your passion becomes the passion of everybody who works in that organization. And of course, Chris is right when he talks about passion. But it isn't just a question of expressing it. It's a question of fostering it. It's a question of growing it. It's a question of looking after it, not just on day one when you make a Henry V speech, but actually week in, week out. At my read-throughs of shows I'm directing, one of the last things I say when I've finished talking about the play is, and by the way, none of us get paid well enough to have a bad time. And it's very important in an industry which is quite scandalously underpaid and is fundamentally subsidized by the people who work in it, it is fundamentally important that everybody is looked after. And I don't just mean the actors and the director and the writer, all of whom need looking after, but also everybody who works in that organization, so that they creatively, efficiently, technically, whatever word you choose to use, can give of their best. Because it's bloody frustrating to be in situations where you can't and you feel everything is conspiring against you to give of your best. Then rhetoric doesn't mean a damn. Visions don't mean a damn. I spent 12 years of my life at the RSC, which had a turnover of £33 million and employed 700 employees across two bases 100 miles apart. And at the risk of upsetting Michael Boyd, who's doing a very good job, I think that's almost impossible to lead. I don't know how you do that. Because I think leadership involves a form of intimacy. It involves an intimacy with everybody who works there, knowing what they're going through, knowing what their problems are, and knowing how you can help. If I went round the RSC systematically to be sure that everybody was comfortable in where they were, it would take me 3 days, and I'd then have to start again. The joy of, you know, I freely confess it, the joy of working at somewhere like the Almeida, which employs 30 people, is that I can assess how people are going through and how they're feeling and how it's all going in about half an hour. Partly because I already know a lot and partly because geographically it's easier. And we can, I think, generalize, I'm sure we will, in the next hour and a half, about leadership. But the qualities of leadership for the Almeida and the qualities of leadership for a huge flagship organization such as Tony runs overlap, of course, but they are different, I think. I think scale is an issue we should not duck. The question of art and management came up, and we were talking about before we all came up here, there was a general view that the idea of art versus management was a sterile argument, and I said I didn't think it was. What I felt was sterile was the word versus. It's not, that's a boring idea. The fundamental fact that I feel I live in my work every day is that every artistic decision I make is a financial decision. And every financial decision I make is an artistic decision. They are umbilically linked every step of the way. And the moment you pitch them as enemies to each other, you're in big trouble, in my view. One has to work for the other. And the people who work, if you like, specializing in one or the other, have to live in each other's pockets. And if they don't, that way madness lies. I'd like to just end on one final comforting note that for anybody in this audience who is beginning, whose top at the top of their head looks anything like mine, namely there's not much on it, and what is very grey. It's as follows. I've never enjoyed a job of running a theatre so much as the one I'm enjoying now. And I didn't know this was going to happen. It's linked to the organisation, it's linked to the space, it's linked to all kinds of things. But one of the things it's linked to is my age. I was rather shocked to work out the other day. I'm actually the oldest person in the building. But what I've learned, if anything, is what to worry about. Or to put it another way, what not to worry about. And I, therefore, if at the ripe old age of 55 I can offer any advice to anybody, it is actually that that is a skill you do well to acquire as fast as possible. I thought when I first took over my first theatre, my job was to worry about everything. That's what you do if you're an artist director. You must worry about everything. I think you have to have a vision for everything, but you then have to know how to let go, delegate properly, empower people properly, and not worry about it. And indeed, sometimes say to people when they come to you, don't worry about that. That will sort itself out, but worry about that. That is worth worrying about. And what it's given me is slightly calmer weekends. and I wish, in a way, I'd acquired calmer weekends earlier in my life. That's all I'll say.